Welcome to Everything Scary. My name is Lynn, and I'm here with my co-host, local celebrity. sorry, international celebrity.
Thank you.
Matt McLean.
Hello.
Every Tuesday, we release a new episode, mostly true crime, but we've also been known to cover a pandemic, a haunting, a super mad, super strong chimpanzee. We'll cover anything and everything scary. Please rate us 5 stars and join us on Instagram at Everything Scary Pod. Here we go.
Wow. Welcome to the Jackass Convention. It looks like our keynote speaker has arrived. Lynn, you have the floor.
Okay. So, you and I were talking today because we are going to be having a guest on our podcast. She's from the Strictly Stalking podcast.
Woo-woo!
Jamie. We're not doing that today. We were just discussing it, and then we were talking about stalking. And is it primarily a male? You were asking.
Yes.
So I wanted to tell you this really, really quick story
because
it's really detailed. But there was this stalking story that was on Strictly Stalking. This guy, he had gotten out of a serious relationship and he was kind of like moving on to the next, but he didn't want anything serious. Like, you can relate.
Yes, a man after my own heart.
So he had met this one girl, her name was Liz. And so they were fine. They were just like doing their thing and whatnot. And then he met another girl while he was working. He was a mechanic and she had come in. So her name was Carrie. And so they ended up having like a week that was pretty like intense. Like they were sleeping over. She was at his house a lot. But Liz had known that this was happening. They like passed each other in the hallway of the building.
Whoa.
And for 7 years, Liz ended up killing Carrie.
What?
Okay. Liz ended up killing Carrie. And then she sent Dave a text message.
After a month.
So Liz is his first side piece, and then Carrie was his second side piece. Neither of these two girls were his girlfriends.
Right.
So the one side piece killed the other side piece, but she then took the second side piece's phone and was sending him messages saying, like, if you don't want to move in with me, you can go fuck yourself. And so she was making it seem like Carrie was a psycho bitch.
Oh.
Meanwhile, she had killed her, and she even – so this went on for 7 years – she even set fire to her own house, killing her pets inside, making it look like this Carrie chick did it. It is the most fucking insane story I've ever heard in my life.
What's this guy look like?
I mean, he's fine.
He's a handsome guy?
Not anything I would
really?
Like, no. Man. It's like, you know how people say, I wouldn't kick them out of the bed for eating crackers?
Yes.
I would be like, get the fuck out of here.
He's like, I'm not even eating crackers. You're like, I don't care.
Is that just draw ramen? What are you doing in here?
Oh my God.
Yes. So that was, I was like, I'm going to tell you this online because it's really.
My fave, I don't know if it was stalking, but do you remember the astronaut that put on the adult diapers?
Yeah.
That's a good move.
Because you know what? If anything says love, it's adult diapers.
Listen,
I've always said it.
If you are not willing to drive through the shit, okay, you are crapping your pants. If you're not willing to proceed and keep forward momentum for love,
then you know what? Keep walking.
You don't deserve to find love.
You don't. Shit through the love is what I always say. Okay. Anywho,
yes.
I have the worst case in the world for you today.
Okay.
So I was hoping.
Can't wait to interject with lots of hilarity.
I was hoping maybe before we just dive into this fucking god. You know what? This is one of those ones I should have done on my own. It is.
A good Lynn solo vehicle.
A good, like, Matt's going to need therapy after this vehicle. So I just was hoping maybe you have something funny that you wanted to, like, put out there before we are doing all the awful stuff.
Yes. I have found the perfect genre of movie that I like.
Great.
It's very specific, though.
Okay.
Anytime, and I notice this with John Wick, but a lot of movies, anytime it's raining out, guy's got a sledgehammer, taking it a concrete slab, either in their house or in a shed in the backyard, and under that slab is passports, money, and guns, I'm in.
That sounds like one movie.
No, they are. A lot of, like, ex-CIA guys, any spy who's, like, out of the game.
It just seems like the sledgehammer might hit like your passport. What if you go right?
It's in a foot. It's in a footlocker.
Oh.
It's not. Well, wouldn't it be water damage on all the documents?
Matthew. Have you ever seen somebody put a passport in a microwave?
No.
That's pretty fucking cool. Because there's a whole bunch of little kibbles and bits in there.
Yeah, like probably little iron filings.
Like GPS trackings.
No, there's no.
Yaha.
Stop it.
Matt, okay. Just right before we get into the...
Okay, there is no GP... Well, listen. Okay, there's a GPS tracker in your passport as much as there is one in your bank card.
No, false.
Because it is the same... Listen, it is the same... Got the chip, the smart chip reader. All right. This is a... What am I looking at?
Just look up passport in a microwave. It fucking explodes.
Do not push your... You know what? I actually wouldn't...
Go get your passport.
Don't microwave your passport. I'm not microwaving my passport. Oh, my God. Okay. You know, this is for...
Foil hatters?
Yes. Okay. It's actually for people like me who love to fuck with people. This... What you do is you tell people that this scrambles the GPS chip in your passport. And as a self-described and proclaimed troll, the end result is now you've microwaved and ruined your passport. That's fantastic. That is...
Can you just please go get your passport?
Hilarious.
Let's go microwave it.
You think the government lets me hang on to my passport? Are you nuts, lady? I am restricted movement. All right.
Keep him in one spot. Okay. So the case I'm going to tell you about today is absolutely horrific, and I'm not looking forward to telling it to you at all.
All right. Is this a freebie or a Patreon?
Freebie.
All right. So what up, Danny Cathy again?
We are horrifying the masses.
Nice. Welcome.
For free.
If you would like to subscribe and be a Patreon, you can, and you get a bunch of cool stuff.
Yeah, you do get a bunch of cool stuff, and Matt is just... He keeps it rated G for these episodes, rated like G
triple
plus.
X.
He will microwave his passport.
I will, for the next Patreon episode, I'm microwaving my passport in the nude.
Oh boy. Mm-hmm. Oh boy. Oh. Mm-hmm. So it is a case that I have known for quite some time. And it was really one of those cases I was like, okay, Matt and I have to record 2 weeks in a row. I've got Kurt Cobain done. I'm just going to throw together one that I already know.
Okay.
And then I started going right into it, and I was like, oh, that's right. This is the worst.
Nice.
So it's going to be two parts.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So there's a lot of horrificness. Is that a word? Horrificness?
I think it is a suffix.
If it's not a word, people understand it, right?
Yeah.
So because after, you know, diving into it again, there's literal moments that I almost cry. So
I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I know. You love this kind of stuff. So before we get into everything, do you want to microwave your passport? Just stalling.
No, I'm okay for now.
Okay. So for this case, I'm going to go ahead and give some trigger warnings.
All right. It sounds like you should.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everything.
Trigger warnings like you wouldn't fucking believe.
Okay.
Like, if you're sensitive to anything.
All right.
This is not the one for you. Child sexual assault, torture. It's really another one of those cases that if you're upset by like, anything.
Yeah.
If you can't watch an episode of like Cold Case Files, this is fucking not for you.
All right.
So let's go ahead.
Jump in, have some fun.
This is going to be great. I'm just going to give you a little scenario. If you can put yourself into the shoes of a parent. Okay. All right. So you're the parent of a teenager.
Okay. Oh, so, boy. Okay. Gray hair. Got it. Stressed.
You know, this is a kid you fucking love.
Yeah.
Raised from a baby. Watched it takes, you know, its first steps. It's say its first words. And then one day that baby comes in and tells you that not only did they witness a brutal murder, but they also may have kind of participated in it. What do you do as a parent?
Look, this is unadvisable. And it is ethically, morally, and illegal.
Okay.
That's becomes a family secret.
Oh, boy. Oh.
Yes. There would be, for me, it's different. If I'm participating in the murder, the guilt, I'm turning myself in.
Uh-huh.
But if it's like one of somebody that I protect, like that I'm, you know, Uncle Matt Man, no.
Let's take a quick break.
Are you a huge cunt?
Us too.
Wait, can we even say cunt?
Of course. It's empowering these days.
Cunt, 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 cunt.
I'm Ange Balasone, a.k.a. the drag queen, That Girl Gina.
And I'm Mike Fales, just a normal gay guy, I guess?
And we're the hosts of The Big Cunty Couch,
a gorgeous new talk show podcast where we invite queers and peers to sit, bitch, and be fierce on a huge-ass couch
while we gab about all things gay.
So come get cozy
and cunty
with us. We're pan for platforms, so find us anywhere online and get listening, sweetie.
Or watching.
Or both.
Otherwise, why the hell am I in full drag?
And we'll see you on The Big Oh, wait, I thought we were going to say that together.
No, on The Big Cunty Couch. Mwah.
Okay, well, this scenario would become a reality for Carl and Gloria Rippey.
What about you? What would you do?
That's a very fucking good question.
Depends that on is the kid. A very, depends you know, on the kid.
It doesn't depend on, you know what I think? I was really thinking about it, and I was really, like, my kids are babies, so it is so hard to put myself in that.
Sure.
But, like, then I started thinking, and you're going to hear what happened in this crime, and then I started to think, if this person, who I'm still going to love and I'm still going to take care of wherever they are,
yeah.
But if they did these things, are they the person that I ever thought they were at all? Mm. Are they that little baby? They're not that baby anymore. They're not that little person that needed me to take care of them. They did some fucked up shit, and we need to take this to the authorities.
And does that person? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I mean, that's where I am right now.
Yeah.
If I ever have to go through anything like this, fucking kill me now.
All right.
So, on the evening of January 11th of 1992, their daughter was 15-year-old Hope Rippey, and she had had a sleepover the night before with her 15-year-old friend, Tony Lawrence. Oh, Matt, you know what I do have for you?
Tony?
Tony's a girl's name.
Okay, with an I.
Tony with an I.
Okay, because I was like, whoa, 15, sleepover, boy?
I did not write down... I didn't draw you pictures, but for the key characters, I've given you names, ages, and how they kind of
you're the best.
Relate.
Okay.
So.
Hope Rippey, Tony with an I.
Yep.
Yeah.
So Tony Lawrence, whom they had both known each other since the girls were in kindergarten, upon hearing what the girls had to say, it was clear that both of the girls, you know, they were completely hysterical. And their stories weren't making too much sense, but feeling as though they were in over their heads, Carl and Gloria got both girls into the car and they made their way to Tony's house to try to figure out what was going on with Tony's parents, who were Clifton and Glenda.
Was this from the sleepover?
So,
an incident at the sleepover?
They were supposed to have a sleepover.
Okay, okay.
It turned into a foursome that did some pretty horrific things.
Oh.
Yes. So these parents, Tony's parents, had just sat down. It was Saturday night. They were going to watch some TV together. When their teenage daughter barged in and she was followed by Hope and her parents, Tony instantly started babbling incoherently about the events that had transpired the night before and had gone on into the morning. Her parents couldn't make heads or tails of what their daughter was saying. They're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like,
teenager, mile a minute.
What the fuck is happening right
now?
So Hope's parents were like, okay, girls, go upstairs. We're going to talk to Tony's parents down here and we're going to try to figure out what's going on. So what the Rippey parents seemed to have been able to decode was that Hope and Tony had planned to go to a concert the night before, which was Friday. On the way, they had picked up Hope's new friend, Lori Tackett, and then they had gone and gotten Lori's friend, Melinda. Melinda entered the car carrying a large kitchen knife. And she informed them that they were going to be scaring a new girl who had been trying to steal her girlfriend.
And these are teenagers?
Yes. Okay. So it had gotten carried away and they had ended up killing the girl.
Jesus.
Right. When Tony's parents heard what they had to say, they called their daughter downstairs and said that they would immediately be going to the sheriff's office. And Hope's parents decided that they would contact an attorney before doing anything else. Mm. And while I think I respect Tony's parents more, I think that for me, if it was one of my kids, I'm getting an attorney first for my kid before I go in and subject them to all the questions.
Sure.
But, you know, they decided that they wanted to go ahead and get to the authorities right away, which I think is a smart move, especially...
Well, when there's a victim involved and parents and notifications and closure and stuff, sure.
Yeah. And we will come to find out that Hope actually did need an attorney more than Tony would have. Because as we will find out, she took part in this horrific act more than Tony did. But let me try to start from the beginning. So 12-year-old Shanda Renee Scherer had just moved to Indiana from Kentucky. She had moved with her mom, Jackie, to be closer to her father, Steve, and her stepmom, Sharon. Of course, naturally, her parents had split up. That's why they didn't live in the same state.
Thank you. And there was a stepmom. I figured they were split up.
When I was like, of course they split up, I felt like I was saying, like, you know, people just always split up.
Yeah, that's right. Of course they split up because they got married.
Like, come on. But no. So they had split up and they'd both remarried and they were kicking ass with this co-parenting thing because Shanda was super close with both of them and they all adored her. And like, of course, they were leaving Kentucky to come to Indiana to be close to him. She had one older sister named Paige who was 7 years older than her. Shanda's mother, Jackie, would say that Paige was kind of like her like run for money kind of kid. You know, the hard teenager.
Yeah, like when you were kind of a troubled
like me.
Teen.
And I was a Paige, for sure. I was not a Shanda. So Shanda, she said, was truly a gift. If my dad ever said that I was truly a gift as a teenager, he might be stroking out. We should probably call somebody. So she said that Shanda was truly a gift. She was very sporty. She, you know, was said by anybody that knew her that she was super happy and super bubbly. She was into soccer, baseball. She was a cheerleader. She just had like a love for life. Her mom once said that if Shanda even suspected that she may have hurt your feelings, her eyes would well right up. Like she couldn't handle the thought of hurting people.
Somebody.
She was just empathetic. She was kind and she was kind of a cool kid. So she was only 12. So let's keep that in mind the entire time.
Okay.
Shanda had left a private school in Kentucky. So it was a private Catholic school. And she was really hoping that her parents were going to allow her to go to a public school because she was overwearing the uniform. Like, this was, like, the early 90s. It's, like, everybody wanted to wear those weird pants and, like...
Yeah, like, mod robes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't want, like, the khaki, the white golf shirt.
Yeah, so she really was into fashion, and she was growing into a young lady, so she wanted to be able to express herself that way. So Jackie and Steve allowed her to go to Hazelwood Middle School in New Albany, Indiana. Shanda had not even been in this new school for a full week when one of her friends came up to her and said that she had a boyfriend and that she wanted to end things with this boyfriend. And he had given her a ring that she wanted to return. And Shanda, just being herself, was like, I'll give it back to him if you want. And she did. She walked up to him. This boy's name was Nathan. And she told him that his girlfriend wanted to break up and here's the ring back.
Yeah.
Naturally, Nathan was like, who the fuck are you? And then they started getting into like a bit of a back and forth. And then...
Like an argument? Well, I guess they're kids.
Yeah, they're kids.
Yeah, okay.
And it's a middle school. So it's like, I think it's like 7, 8, 9, 10 kind of thing. Like,
oh,
it's not,
God. Yeah, I definitely broke up with somebody through somebody in that age. Like, you tell them they're dumped. You go tell her right now.
I remember I broke up with a grade 7 when I was in grade 8. And I got my friend to do it over the phone. And I was like, tell him I got to go walk my cat.
Oh,
and I took my
God, cat
out on a leash.
Oh, my God. What a cute. So
it was like I broke up with this poor guy. And I also was torturing my cat.
Tortured your cat. Come on, mittens. We don't need this shit.
The cat's like. So as she was having this back and forth with Nathan, his cousin came up. And this was 15-year-old Amanda Heverin. So, you know. She told the much younger Shanda, leave her cousin alone. Mm-hmm. And then she decided to chest bump Shanda and she pushed her to the ground and then she began like hitting her, fighting with her, which resulted in Shanda having a lump on her head. And then a teacher intercepted and both Amanda and Shanda got in trouble, even though Amanda was known to start physical fights at school.
Well, I'm glad that thug Shanda was reprimanded for
getting
all of her.
Punch.
Well, putting her chest in the way of the other girl.
Oh, my God.
And falling down.
So
like that.
Jackie would receive a call, and it was the third day of school to let her know that Shanda had been involved in a fist fight. 12-year-old Shanda had been involved in a fist fight, and therefore she would be serving detention for a week.
What about Shanda got beat up at school?
Yeah, do you want to maybe sit her down and see if she's okay? No.
I don't mean to laugh. That's bullshit.
And you know what? If not for this detention, things might have been different. Yeah. So if it probably had have been handled the way you just said it, things would have been different. But as it turns out, in detention, this would prove to be kind of a bonding experience for Amanda and Shanda. And the two began passing letters in detention, and they actually were hitting it off. But this time, Amanda was actually in a relationship with another girl whose name was Melinda Lovelace. Melinda, if you recall, beginning of the story, had a knife.
Oh, right. And they were going to scare the new girl with the big kitchen
presumably,
knife.
Our poor Shanda.
Yes.
So Melinda was also 15 at this time, but she was turning 16 because Melinda had been held behind a year in school. And the reason that Melinda had been held behind was due to what I can only describe as a house of horrors as her home to go to every night. In this story, we are going to come to discover that Melinda is a monster, but it's worth understanding her upbringing because it might help in understanding the whole is a monster born or created kind of thing.
I do find that just absolutely fascinating.
You know what? This is going to really put it in black and white for you.
Yeah, okay.
Because there's four girls, and it basically, their level of involvement kind of comes from, like, if you compare the level of abuse that they endured, it's really so reflective the, or on how much
no
they participate.
Shit. So the level of trauma they've experienced correlates.
Yes.
Wow.
Very much so, actually.
Wow.
So Melinda's parents were Larry and Marjorie Lovelace. Lovelace is a very fitting surname. Larry was drafted to the Vietnam War. And when he came back, it was said that he was a completely different person. I couldn't find any information on how Larry was before he was drafted. But when he returned, he was an absolute horror story.
PTSD.
Yeah. Or he's just a fucking cyst on the backside of humanity.
Wow.
Thank you. Poetic.
That was, it was beautiful.
Thank you so much. So he is said to have sexually assaulted his older two daughters, which are Michelle and Melissa, from infancy. Melinda has always denied that her dad sexually assaulted her. And she actually seemed to have some sort of a affinity to him. But he also did force her to sleep in bed with him until she was 14 years old. And given everything else that we have learned about him, maybe she blocked a period of time in her mind out, which, great, good for her. Or maybe he really didn't touch her that way, but he was violently sexually assaulting many other people, including her mother. And it was while the girls were in the house and could hear their mother screaming. He would also take her mother to bars where he would proposition other couples into swinging. He was very vocal about forcing his wife into swinging.
Wow.
He would tell other women that he was a doctor to make himself more appealing, like not just a fucking weirdo, perverted piece of shit. Like that doesn't come across as nice as
I'm a doctor.
Yeah, I'm a doctor. I'm not just this fucking creep.
This is a weirdo.
Larry Lovelace.
That's Dr. Weirdo to you.
So it got so bad that Marjorie, the mother, had attempted to on multiple occasions to take her own life when her children were home.
Oh, wow.
And well aware what was going on. He then did a complete 180 and decided that he was going to go hard into the Baptist church. He even became a lay pastor, which...
A lay pastor?
So what that means, because I had to look it up, like is essentially you don't have any of the credentials. You just want to tell people stuff. You didn't go to university. You didn't move your way up in the... Yeah, you just are like, guess what I am?
So I essentially am a lay pastor.
If you want to be.
Yeah, sounds like I have all the credentials for it.
Do you have none?
Yes.
Then there you go. You're in.
Guess what, my child? You're healed.
So when Melinda was young, Larry said that he could see that Melinda had demons in her. So his solution, which as parents do, was to take this very young child, I believe she was about five at the time, he then found a 50-year-old man who said he was capable of performing an exorcism. He then dropped his little girl off at a motel with this man, and he left her there for 5 hours.
Just to, all right,
exercise
I'll be
the demon.
Back and do your exorcism.
Yeah, I'm going to Costco.
Wow. So just a piece of shit festival.
Great guy.
Nice.
All the way around. So, you know, he was diving in deep with this religion thing. And
the lay pastor.
It just also, it gave him the right to like inflict physical pain on his family that was like for different reasons. So like he was like, you're eating meat on Friday.
How dare you?
Friday.
I will smite you.
Yeah, I'm smiting.
Every Friday.
I don't know.
Is that a thing?
I don't know. I went to Catholic school for many years. Should probably know that.
You did?
Yeah, many a year.
Whoa.
So, finally, he was caught sexually assaulting one of the younger members of his church, and he got kicked out of that. And then one night, Melinda had a friend over, and the two girls were changing clothes. Bet you can see where this is going.
Fuck.
So, he actually didn't get as far as he probably wanted it to. He was creeping the girls from a crack in the doorway when he heard a noise behind him, and when he turned around, it was Marjorie, and she had a knife in her hand. She had finally had enough of his shit, and she lunged at Larry, injuring him, but he was able to struggle the knife away from her, but not before she did some pretty substantial damage.
All right, Marjorie.
And he would have to spend a period of time in the hospital, and when he was released, he would never return to the family home again. He ended up moving to Florida and remarrying. Marjorie would remarry too. And her new husband told Melinda that he didn't want to try to replace her father. He just wanted to be her friend and try to help her.
She's like, you could, though.
By all accounts, this guy seemed like he was a great guy. Melinda was so, like, what's that, Stockholm Syndrome?
Yeah.
She was so all about her dad.
Oh, God,
and, yeah. And she really wanted nothing to do with this other guy. But one part of the story that's actually a bit fun.
Okay.
In 1998, Larry got hit by a bus and killed.
What is the matter with you?
Couldn't have happened to a nicer guy.
Oh, man.
Like, is that not the way we all want bad guys to go, though?
Yeah,
just
bus.
Fucking struck by a bus or a train. Bye.
Yeah. Yeah. Or ripped limb from limb.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Either one.
That seems like somebody would have to be involved. I think just getting hit by a bus is like, whoops.
Da-da-da.
So, Melinda and Amanda, so the girl from detention that beat up Shanda.
Yep.
Melinda, Lovelace, they were in a relationship. They had been together for over a year now, but Melinda was extremely jealous when it came to Amanda. And she would actually get really violent with Amanda, too. And when things didn't work out the way that she had wanted them to, she would lash out, which, I mean, given her history, you can kind of see where that came from.
Sure, not really knowing what love is or how to display it.
Right. But for Amanda, who's 15 and in her first relationship with another girl, she's starting to feel like it all might be a bit much. Mm. And she was starting to pull away from the relationship and was starting to lean more into this relationship that was beginning with Shanda, who was 12. And I don't like that.
Yeah. 12 and 15.
Very different ages. I don't think.
Very different stages in life. I mean, 3 years isn't a big gap when you're talking 46 to 49.
That's exactly what I have in my notes. It's not.
46 to 49?
I did not say those.
Oh, that would have been good.
I said a 3 year age difference between them isn't big, but like at 12, you're still a literal child.
Yes.
And at 15, you're like, I'm going to try a cigarette.
Yeah. You're like, oh, treat me like an adult.
Yeah.
Dad. I swear I'm so out of here.
Yeah. You guys don't understand.
You guys are lame.
So, for the record, Shanda's mom believes to this day that Amanda was a predator when it came to her daughter. And I'm going to have to side with Shanda's mom because she has all the rights here.
Yeah.
You know, I understand why her mom would think something like that. I think I would feel the same way. Like, you see pictures of Shanda, and like, I think the 80s was a really fucking weird time because like people were wearing those big square glasses and like their hair was frizzed out to like Kingdom Come.
Yeah.
So they always looked older.
Dude, every high school yearbook photo looks like a bunch of 40-year-olds.
Easily 40.
It's like hilarious.
Like late 40s.
Yes.
But then like when you look at Shanda's face in like her pictures, she does have a baby face. She's got the permed hair. Mm-hmm. She's wearing like a cat sweater. So, you know, it's just, it's hard to kind of, I think for us especially, because it's like we're looking back at people that look older than we are right now.
Yeah, right?
That's what they looked like, but they weren't. This was a baby.
Yeah.
So Melinda had noticed that Shanda and Amanda seemed to be getting closer, which isn't good because she did not like it. And at first, though, she kind of attempted to be friends with Shanda. And she would write her notes that were like, they were breezy.
Like, hey, girl, what's
hey.
Up?
Hey. So I'll give you an example of one of her notes. She wrote, Shanda, don't be scared of me, please. I just want to be your friend. I just don't like it when you speak to Amanda when I'm not there. I mean, why can't we all three be friends? You act like you've got something going on with her. Amanda and I are going together, and she loves me, and I love her. And she only wants to be friends with you. I don't want you sneaking behind my back. Why don't you speak with Amanda when she's with me? You need to find a boyfriend because Amanda's mine. You can even ask her. Please talk to us both, or you can forget about Amanda. You, me, and Amanda need to talk together to square this away, and we can all be friends. Can you meet us at lunch? Your friend, Mel.
Kids.
Your friend, Mel.
They're just kids.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm getting from this. Is yes. It's just juvenile.
There's another note that I didn't include in here, I don't think, but it was like, I am writing a letter, even though the teacher told me not to write letters. Stupid teacher.
Looking at me right now.
So after Shanda received this letter, she just kind of ignored it, probably out of fear. Mm-hmm. And Melinda then confronted Shanda in the hallways, like a little bit aggressively.
You didn't see my letter?
Didn't you read it? I said, your friend, Mel.
Are we not friends?
So obviously terrified, Shanda promised not to see Amanda anymore. Which only made Melinda even more furious.
What?
And a little while later, there was a piece of paper that had been cut into a heart, and it was taped inside Shanda's locker, and it was written on it, Shanda loves Amanda.
Oh, shit.
Yes. Oh, shit is right.
Oh, boy.
So this caused Melinda to grab this actual 12-year-old by her hair and yell at her to stay away from Amanda.
Wow. Just like, because, I mean, we were talking about the age difference from... You think it's from 12 to 15 is big. 15 to 16 is enormous.
12 to 16, you mean, right?
No, well, yes. But also, I mean, even the difference from 15 to 16, mm-hmm. that 1 year, right, where we've got Melinda mm-hmm. is a year older than Amanda. Mm-hmm. And that even 1 year is so for her to just.
And I didn't want to bring this up because it kind of like makes her. But people that were like interviewed at her school thought that Melinda was like. This, she was a goddess. She was so beautiful. And mm-hmm. They said that she was a Julia Roberts lookalike.
Oh, really?
I thought Shanda looked more like Julia Roberts because she's got kind of whatever. Mm-hmm. You know what? Looks aside, this is just a bunch of craziness. But at this point, Shanda's mom would say that Shanda would just randomly start crying at home. Her grades were slipping. She was like once pretty bubbly and happy, but she was just a lot more moody in general. And there's one day that Jackie came home and Shanda was actually sitting on the porch with Amanda. And when Jackie asked her daughter, like, is this the girl that punched you out that you were in detention because of? Shanda was like, yeah, that's fine. We've worked it out. We're great now. So back at school, though, Amanda invited Shanda to be her date to the homecoming dance. Naturally.
Melinda going to this dance by chance?
Well, here's the thing. Melinda would have freaked out, right? But Amanda said that she doubted she would even show up because she hated school dances. Mm. So they thought, you know what? It's fine. We'll just go. Clearly no one will say anything.
I always pretended to hate school dances.
And then you just go?
No, but I'd be like, those are stupid. Meanwhile, I was like, oh my God, I wish I had somebody to go with. I just want to go dance in school. What's wrong with that? I'm a good dancer. Nobody's seen me do it. Like you go to the school dance? No, that's
so
stupid.
Lame.
Yeah. Ugh. I need to try marijuana.
And then you've never looked back.
Never.
Never. I've been looking at your half-mast eyes this entire time. So here we are, and you know, Melinda did find school dances lame, but hell hath no fury like a woman scorned.
Uh-oh.
So she showed up. And she chased poor little Shanda around the dance, and eventually Amanda had to step in between the two of them and break up this physical fight that was going to transpire. The teachers were like, yeah, there's a fucking four-year age difference. Work it out.
Whatever, they're kids.
Just grab her by the hair. Like, jeez, what the fuck is happening here?
I know.
There's a reason that elementary school and high school are separate, because that is where the line is.
It is. Yeah.
So... you know, it was around this time that Jackie actually started finding sexual letters that Amanda had written to Shanda. And she did happen to get her hands on one letter that Shanda had written because she had tried to mail it. But being that she was only 12, she had forgotten about postage on it.
Oh,
so it had come right back to the house. And in that letter, it said, Amanda, I miss you and I love you no matter what happens. Of course, she asked Shanda about it. And this time, Shanda told her that she was afraid of Amanda. So that's why she was kind of complying with her advances and her friendship and her more than friendship kind of thing. Okay. And it was just easier for her to be friends than to fight. She didn't want to be her enemy kind of thing. So by this point, Jackie had had enough. She's like, fuck public schools.
Yeah.
So her and Steve made the decision that they were going to move Shanda halfway through the school year and they were going to have her enrolled in a private Catholic school again.
Good.
And that school was called Our Lady of Perpetual Help.
It would not.
I swear.
Do you, like...
I feel like there would be a saint, like, walking around, like, what's wrong?
What, can I help
what's
you?
What's wrong?
Can I help you? Can I help you? Listen, the work's got to be done at some point with the help.
It's okay? Perpetual. What are you talking about?
Why are we always helping?
Hey, it's me. It's the middle of the night. What's wrong?
Hey. Y'all right? Can I get you something? You want a glass of warm milk? Help you sleep?
But why is the Lady of Perpetual Help at home with us? Isn't this just at school?
That's right.
So by this point, Melinda had written a bunch of letters to Amanda telling her that she was going to kill Shanda, a 12-year-old.
Oh, wow.
She had even made mention of it to her other friends, as one does.
Mm-hmm.
One of these friends said that Melinda said that she wanted to kill Shanda and asked her if she would help beat her up and that she had mentioned it on more than one occasion. So she was sounding pretty serious.
Pretty confident.
Uh-huh. And during all of this, Amanda's dad would soon find some of these letters. So Amanda's dad was finding letters that were written from Shanda, the 12-year-old, mm-hmm. and then he's finding death threats from Melinda. And he didn't even, like, you know, I don't think Amanda was hiding the fact that she was a lesbian, but it wasn't something that they had spoken about.
Well, even a father with his 15-year-old daughter, regardless of orientation, he's not going to know shit.
Oh, yeah. My dad would have buried, he would have dug a hole for himself in the backyard.
That's right. Yeah.
So he decided that, first of all, Melinda over here can't be writing all these death threats. That seems unsafe. So what he did do, and I have to hand it to not Melinda's parents,
okay,
but Shanda's parents were doing absolutely everything that they mm-hmm. could. They're moving schools. They're talking to her about these things. Amanda's father talked to Amanda about it. And then he went to a juvenile probation officer. And he had this juvenile probation officer go to Melinda's house and please stay out of touch with Amanda.
Okay, that's good.
Please also stop writing death threats.
Yes. Death threats are never good, kids.
No, they're never great. So, you know, he then goes into her house and he tells her, just please cease all communication with Amanda. But Melinda at this point has laser focus on Amanda. And there was even another girl that was into Melinda. Her name was Carrie. And she's like trying to be with Melinda, but Melinda's just like, thank you so much. That's super sweet. Will you please beat up my ex? Because that would be so great.
Thank you. That's
thank
super
you so
sweet.
Much.
Do me a favor.
Just beat up my ex because I'm super in love with her. But if you could just take a couple thumps for me,
that'd be awesome.
I would appreciate it. So, you know, all of this is just a fucking circus. And at Shanda's home, things are kind of getting back to good. Like her grades are improving and she's making new friends at this Catholic school. And from what Jackie is seeing, she's no longer with Amanda and she's just seeming happier in general.
Good.
But then another school dance happens and Amanda tries to sneak Shanda into the dance to be her date. But they get stopped because, you know, Shanda no longer goes to that school.
Right.
So she's not authorized to take part in this dance. Well, Melinda is already in the dance that she felt they were so lame before.
Oh my God.
She's a fucking participating member in every single dance now. She sees what's happening at the door. And of course, she decides to go and insert herself into this situation. And she demands that Amanda tell Shanda in front of everyone that she has no interest in her and that she has no love for her and that she wants her to go away.
Like, kind of tried to sneak her in here.
Yeah, like you must have missed that last part. But
yeah,
because Amanda was worried for Shanda's safety, she does do this. And so Shanda leaves humiliated.
Is this what happens with teenage girls?
Yes.
Like this world, this that is fascinating.
We're all a bunch of lunatics.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep.
Now that I've confirmed that, speaking on behalf of all teenage girls, I was a lunatic. So later on, Amanda gets in touch with Shanda and she says, I'm really scared for your safety. Like, she's dangerous and she is going to hurt you. So, like, I wanted to put it out there that, like, I'm not into you. And I was just lying, but I just wanted to make sure that it doesn't
escalate. Said it in the moment. Trying to de-escalate. Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, this kind of gives us a relatively decent understanding of the dynamic of these girls, right?
Sure.
But now we're going to bring in Lori Tackett.
All right.
Lori is also 16. She did not go to Hazelwood Junior High with Amanda and Melinda. But Lori, too, had a terrible childhood. Her parents were also super religious. But not like healthy religious. More like, let's beat our child every time they do something that doesn't align with our religion. You know the kind.
Yes, the name of the Lord. How dare you? I will smite you.
Yeah. So Lori once brought a pair of jeans with her to school and changed into them upon arriving to school because, you know, skirts.
Oh, yeah.
And her mother knew what she had done and she confronted her and chased her around trying to strangle her.
Because she wore
changed into jeans.
Okay.
Yeah.
And okay. Oh, that, and that's the end of the crime.
That's the crime.
Okay.
Full thing.
Thought I was missing something.
Nope. Just jeans.
Okay.
So this statement was one that Lori would make years after. This is actually from Dr. Phil.
God.
So the whole kit and caboodle were interviewed on Dr. Phil in 2017. But so Lori Tackett would say, in regards to how she felt about this crime, let's say, for instance, I know a couple people kill simply for the fear that they see in their victim's eyes and for the sight of blood on their bodies. My opinion is that they do this to feel superior or high on the victim's fear. They're thirsty for the spill of blood. That is what she said when they asked her what she was thinking when committing her crime.
So basically,
the thrill of the kill.
She loves murder. Bloody murder. Wow.
Lori would also say that from a very young age, she felt as though it was her destiny to take someone's life and then spend the rest of her life in prison. And she had accepted that by the time that she was a teenager. It's always good to have goals. That's crazy, isn't it?
Yes. Like, okay. And I mean, obviously the thought process is flawed. But if you feel that it's your destiny to kill some, wouldn't you want to be like a killer? Not just go to jail, like do one and then jail?
One and done. I don't know. Like maybe, I don't know. But maybe like her home life was so bad that like being escape, in jail would be better.
Get your frustrations out and then get a stable shit.
More and if you look living. At her now, she is a shell of a human.
Yeah.
She was a shell of a human back then. Like, if that was my daughter, all the pictures that I've seen of Lori Tackett when she was 16 years old, if I looked at my daughter and she looked like that, I'd be like, what's going on? Like, she's not there. She's just going through the motions.
Really?
Yeah, it's really sad, actually. So, when Melinda and Lori had met, Melinda had somebody in mind that she wanted dead. But Lori had the need and the want to kill somebody.
Oh, my God. This is like when peanut butter met chocolate and they made Reese's.
Way worse. Oh. Way worse. Definitely not. Yeah. No, that's like, that was heaven.
I was mainly speaking of partnerships, but yes, you make a great point about the spectrum of partnerships.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. No, this is not like that. This was like when pickles met toilet water. I don't know how that works itself out, but so that will sadly take us to January 10th of 1992. 15-year-old Hope Rippey and Tony Lawrence are getting ready to go to a concert. On the way to pick them up was Lori Tackett. Tony and Lori had never... So this is when the names kind of get confusing.
Okay.
Okay, do you want it? It's really bad.
But what?
You want to know kind of how I remembered Tony Lawrence? Mm-hmm. So Tony Lawrence was the one who participated the least. And the way, like, when I say her parents' last name so that you can kind of keep track of, I thought Tony Lawrence kind of sounds like Joey Lawrence from Blossom. Does that help at all?
Whoa. Yeah. What's going on here?
But does that help at all? Like,
no.
Now when I say Lawrence, won't you think of Tony instantly? When I say, like, the parents' last name, when I'm talking about the parents, I'll be like, so-and-so Lawrence. You'll be like, oh, that's Tony's parents because Tony sounds like Joey. No way.
Yes. Well, I have a cheat sheet in front of me, so I'm good.
Okay. Well, everyone else.
I don't know the Joey Lawrence.
I'm giving the gold away.
Can I sidebar? Do you know that Joey Lawrence, like all those brothers, have like a podcast and everything?
I'm good not listening to it.
Yeah. I thought you liked trios of brothers. just musicals.
Just the one.
Brothers.
Just the one.
Okay.
I don't cheat on them.
No, you would
not
never.
A floozy.
I'm not a weirdo.
I stalk one family.
That's right.
And all of a sudden, I'm a weirdo. So, okay, let's get back into this awful case.
Okay, so Joey Lawrence.
I was helping you, and you just shot me in the foot.
Blossom, where are you going?
Whoa.
Whoa. Do you believe it?
On the way to pick up Lori Tackett, you know, Tony, Lori did not know each other. So Lori, the one who wants to kill somebody, Tony did not know each other. Hope and Lori knew each other. That was the connection here. Mm-hmm. And when Lori arrived and Hope and Tony got into the car, Lori excitedly said to Hope, "Did you tell her?" To which Tony responded, "Tell me what?" And without allowing Hope the chance to answer, Lori responded, "We're going to kill a little girl tonight."
Oh my God.
Yes. So naturally, I think as a high school student, when they hear, you know, anyone say, "I'm going to kill somebody," they probably just, it's probably just that like turn of phrase, right? Like,
yeah,
you just think it's nothing. So I think at first that was how Tony took it. It wasn't until they arrived at the home of Melinda Lovelace, who entered the car carrying a large kitchen knife,
shit,
that she started to worry that she may actually be in a bit over her head. They then went to the home of Shanda Scherer's father, and Tony and Hope were given instructions to try and lure Shanda out of the home by telling her that Amanda was waiting for her and that they were to drive her to Amanda. But Hope and Tony had never met Shanda before. So when she answered the door, they actually asked her if Shanda was home. Her dad was sitting in the next room, and he was listening to everything that was happening, and he knew that these weren't friends to her.
Right.
So he was kind of like, "What's going on? Like, you're not going out with these girls, da, da, da." So, you know, they relayed the message that Amanda was waiting for her. And Shanda said to them, "Okay, listen, my dad's going to go to bed soon. Come back after a bit and I'll sneak out of the house."
Okay.
And, you know, that's the story that we only know from Tony and Hope's perspective, because they're the only ones that, aside from Shanda, that were there to hear that.
Right.
So all four girls did end up going to this concert. And during the concert, Hope and Tony actually met up with a couple guys, and they ended up going out to Lori's car and like fooling around in the car with these guys. And at one point, Tony said to the dudes, she was like, "Yeah, the girls that I'm with are going to kill somebody tonight."
Jeez.
But it's like, did she believe it?
It's so
like,
casual.
Right.
To drop it so casually.
Like, I think she was worried, but maybe she didn't fully believe it. Like, I don't know. I can't put myself in a 15-year-old girl's mind. Mm-hmm. But like, she does withdraw throughout the whole entire crime, does nothing to save Shanda.
Wow.
So, even worth mentioning is because, you know, this point in time, it was seen as an opportunity when it came down to the court system and whatnot. Tony specifically would have had to, you know, she would have been able to stop what was going on if she had just said something to one of these outside people, not even these two guys, but like, she's in a parking lot. Like, you could have found an adult, anybody.
Yeah.
And I don't know, there's going to be many points later on that she's fully guilty of not doing that at all. But I think as a teenager at this point, I might still be believing, like, she might not fully grasp the gravity of this situation. Yeah. But yeah, that's where I'm going to leave it for part one.
It's
so bad. It's so bad. Okay.
Can I ask this kind of quick question? Do we know what concert they were going to see?
It was like a no-name. Yeah, I did hear it because I listened to a book and I did hear
but
it.
But it wasn't like notable.
I'm like, it was, oh God, it was like Nirvana. No.
Yeah, it was like, you know.
I don't know good music, so it could have been somebody that was true. Important. Okay.
Alrighty.
On to next time.
Okay.
Bye.